This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Salutations. This is episode 104 of what? What did you watch this week?
Okay.
For reals this time. My name is Mike.
13 Baker's Dozens.
No. It's 8.
12?
8. Mm. 8 Baker's Dozens. All 8 right. times 13
eight.
Is 104.
8 Baker's Dozens.
Gosh. 13 times 13 is definitely more than 104.
Sure. Maybe on your crazy moon planet, but.
Moon planet?
Yeah, exactly. I'm John.
I think everyone knows who we are by now.
You'd hope so.
And I'd hope so. Anyways.
Episode 104. Coast to coast.
104. Coast 104. To coast.
Yep. I don't know where that came from.
This is a late night talk show called Coast to Coast.
No. Interesting.
It's about paranormal stuff, government conspiracy, government cover-ups.
The name's kind of not a dead giveaway.
It's ghost to ghost. It's about other stuff as well.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, that's a lot of the things. It's a pretty solid show. I used to listen to it when I worked night shift at the City of Augusta.
Dispatch, because
we didn't have internet. We didn't have TV. We just had a radio.
Wow. Back in my day.
It's amazing. It's changed a lot in the last 17 years, but it has.
Yeah. So, did you watch some stuff this week?
I did watch some stuff.
You don't sound like thrilled about it. Did you not watch a lot of stuff, or did you just not watch very quality stuff? Or?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay.
I just want to watch some stuff. Okay. Some things.
All right.
So, I don't know. Let's just start off with, I did not watch The Detour.
Oh, okay. So you did not watch The Funeral.
I did not watch The Funeral of The Detour. I know you'd asked me about that the other day. So I
it's a pretty good episode. I think you personally will have a couple of problems with it. Given what I know of you and your sensibilities, but it's a good episode.
Okay.
Trust me, afterwards you're going to go, I know what you were talking about. I'm not that bad. What are you talking about? It was funny. It was humorous, but yeah.
Okay, now I got to watch it. Timeless, episode 2.
Yes. I did not watch episode 3 because I did not get the message from you saying, we watched it.
Yeah, we didn't watch anything.
Okay.
It just didn't happen.
So episode 2, I have zero notes, but I just watched it, so, nice. Well, not like just now, because I just got out of work, fucking place.
Right.
They
go back to the Darlington 500.
Yes, which at first I thought was just made up, but apparently it was a real race.
It is a real race.
Yep. And this episode had a lot of heart to it, you know? You had the black guy who was the race car driver / bootlegger, you know, they got into the whole, oh, yeah, you know, stock car racing came from bootlegging, which is true.
It is true, yep.
And, you know, he was a decent guy, and, you know, they had that whole thing where they were like, oh, it reminded me of Quantum Leap, and they were like, well, sadly, you know, he's going to win first place, but they're not going to give him the money until everybody goes home, and
right.
Then he'll get the money afterwards. You know, I was like, Ziggy, maybe this is why I've got to leave you. But
The racer's name is Wendell Scott.
Yes.
They went back to September 4th, 1955.
Yep.
And Wendell Scott's a real guy. This is something the show does I like a lot, is when they use actual people in history.
Yep.
And give you a little bit of background about them. Like that whole thing about him winning the race and it not being acknowledged was absolutely true. In fact, his family didn't get they didn't give him the trophy until 40 years later.
Wow.
20 years after he died. And there was because he was black, there was a lot of things they didn't have.
But then they find out that, you know, when they bring it up to him, he's like, I know.
Yeah.
He's like, of course they're not going to give me the prize money. Yeah. I'm black. But you know what? They'll always know that a black guy beat him.
Yeah. So anyways, they head back there because the mothership, for whatever reason, lands there and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my thought was to Kate when I said this, is like, why don't they just wait and see what happens? see what happens to the change in history, and they go, okay, that's what we got to stop, and they go back before it.
But then we saw that they can't do that.
Right, they can't do that. So, but they go back, and basically they find out that Rittenhouse is going to, there's a driver that's down there now, and I can't think of his name, Ryan Millerson, and all I want to say is Pete, it's not Pete, Wyatt, Wyatt. Was all about him.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, he won this, and blah, 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 knows everything like you would know any old NASCAR guy.
Right.
He's like, oh, he was the father of NASCAR, yeah. Blah, 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 and then it turns out, nope.
He apparently is a Rittenhouse agent.
Yep. He was inserted,
yep.
And because of the way that he was inserted,
yep.
It affected Wyatt's memories, yep. And so they were like, oh, this is why we can't wait.
But he was there for a while,
yep.
And he met a woman, and they got married, and then he impregnated her,
mm-hmm.
And now they want him to kill himself, be a suicide bomber, if you will,
yep.
And crash into and blow his car up at the start-finish line, because all the car dealership and manufacturer executives are going to be there.
Yep.
And this is Rittenhouse's way to erase them.
Basically, if they're all gone, then Rittenhouse can come in and corner the market on manufacturing automobiles.
Yes. Yep.
Set themselves up pretty, you know?
Yeah. So Wyatt and company, basically, Wyatt ends up killing Millerson.
Yep.
Which he's sad about, but doesn't hesitate.
Right. And because, as I said, you only remember him because they put him here.
Yeah, and they take the car that's been rigged out with the bomb, and they take off. And
which I had a little problem here, just because they were like
car chase scene.
Well, they had the car chase, but they're like, it's pressure sensitive.
Yeah,
if we hit a bug, it'll go off, and then they're like, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
And then they go across that bridge.
Yeah,
and that old wooden bridge is going to go all the way across.
And then he whips around and does the 180 and throws it in reverse and backs in, and they're like, look, he missed the bumper by like a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But there was a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That was Queens Under Pressure.
I got that.
Okay.
I
picked
up on that. Actually, I thought you were doing Ice Ice Baby.
No. Okay. I didn't go ding, ding at the end.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole difference according to Vanilla Ice.
It was a big controversy.
Yeah.
No, I didn't steal their beat.
No, mine has a ding, ding at the end.
Mine's a little different.
Yeah.
But then again, I did give them full writing credits.
Right.
Because I was forced to by law. So they stop Rittenhouse's. They stop Rittenhouse,
and this time,
yeah. And they head back, and oh, we did get to see Flynn.
Yep.
Lucy,
briefly.
Yeah, Lucy goes in and talks to him, and at first he's like, "You got to get me out of here. I won't help you." And Lucy's just like, "Help us! Don't. You're not going anywhere."
Right.
So he does.
And then he pulls the age-old crappy writing thing where he's like, well, I remember that there was one page in there where that date came up and they went to, and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Come on. No, he didn't have everything memorized.
Right, right.
Couple of the B stories in here. Rufus's girlfriend has one of her visions where she sees like a mark on his arm.
Yeah.
And she like shakes it off, but... Yeah. Then he gets it on this trip.
He burns. It's a steam burn, yes.
Pretty bad one, too. I mean, that, like, melted his skin right off.
Pretty significant burn, yeah.
And then she sees it, and she's like, ah.
She doesn't say anything.
Right.
He's like, let's make everybody breakfast in the morning. She's like, okay, honey.
Yeah. And then...
Give me the D. Anyways.
And then we've got, over on the Rittenhouse side,
yeah.
We've got Grandpa / Big Daddy Rittenhouse.
Kings or whatever you want to call him. He's an... arrogant ass.
Oh, he's an arrogant ass, and he's kind of crazy because he's asking for weird stuff and painting really creepy pictures of little girls.
So when they have the big reveal at the end, and they show like this master plan of his that's out on this like wall, and I couldn't make out what was on it.
I couldn't either.
Like it was
like, were there words or were there pictures or
it was completely like unintelligible.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like,
and everyone's just like,
oh. It'd be like if he mumbled his master plan, but instead you had a visual of like mumbling.
If 436 put out the master plan over the radio, that's an inside joke of work. Trust me, it's funny.
And then the other back B story to all that is that Mason wants to go make a public appearance because, you know, he lost his company and he lost all his money and his
ego likes the spotlight.
Needs to be stroke.
Yeah, exactly.
And Agent Christopher's like, don't do it. You'll be sorry.
She really followed through on that too.
Yeah, she really did. And then brings him back to the compound and is like.
Like she had him arrested on stage.
Yes, in front of his peers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for violation of, what was it like?
Oh,
selling secrets or national treasure.
Yeah, I mean, conspiracy and,
yeah.
And espionage and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. hauled him right off in cuffs. Yeah. She was like, I warned you.
Yeah. And he's just like, don't you ever. And she cuts him right down. She's like, look, when we're all done, you can do what you want. But until then, you're going to stay here and you're going to eat your crow.
And you're going to be hiding.
Yeah.
You know, this is subtle.
You're putting all of us in danger by you going out there.
Yeah. Dink. Yeah. That's been my word of the night tonight.
Dink.
Yeah. It's really doesn't have the oomph behind it that, like, you know, fucker or something like that does.
Yeah.
But man, it's gotten me through a lot tonight where I'm just like, you dink.
Lately, Zack Sabre Jr., he's a British wrestler who wrestles for New Japan Pro Wrestling. A lot of his post match promos have been him calling people dickhead. And I don't know why, but it's just tickling my fancy. Like, there's, he beat Naito.
Does he have a British accent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
He beat Naito in the opening round of the New Japan Cup. And Naito's big gimmick is that he's tranquilo because he went to Mexico a lot. So he's Japanese, but he does Mexican Spanish shit. So he's tranquilo all the time, which is tranquil. Cool, relaxed, whatever.
Makes sense. Yeah.
He walks out back for his post match interview. And first thing Zack Sabre Jr. says, who's tranquilo now, dickhead? And it's just like.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, like, he beats up the champion, Okada, because they have a match coming up, and Okada's gimmick, he sees the Rainmaker, and he says, make it rain now, dickhead. And I'm just like, it's so simple.
Right.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It's just making me laugh.
Yeah. I must have thrown out, like, 7 or 8 dinks tonight and just really felt good each time.
Good. Glad you got your aggression out there.
So, yeah, this is still a great show.
Oh, yeah. Timeless is amazing. I love it.
I really am enjoying it. I'm so glad it's back. And Lucy didn't really get a lot to do this time.
No, Lucy had a big role first episode.
Yep.
In this episode, she was kind of...
Well, because she's a historian, but she doesn't know shit about NASCAR, apparently.
Yeah, no.
She knew a little bit about bootlegging. Very little bit.
A little bit about bootlegging.
But Wyatt was like, oh, my God, I know something you guys don't know.
Anywho. We have not watched This Is Us yet. Just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
I did watch LA to Vegas. And this was the episode where the plane was overbooked. Yes.
And so the MMA fans were all on it. Yes.
And so they pull the ultimate dickhead move of like, well, we're gonna sit here and wait till 4 people take our $250 we can offer you.
Right.
We'll take a later flight and that's that.
Yeah, we're going to punish the whole class.
There'll be no service. Bathrooms were locked. No food or drink service. No nothing. And then after a while, they shut the air conditioning off. I mean,
but you've got the stripper who was planning to do snacks for a party that she was going to. So she's like the black market, basically.
Yes, she's selling like a bottle of water for $20. And
yeah.
It's all done like drug trades.
Yep.
So
and then
Ronnie's boyfriend's on the plane.
Yeah, which... I love that guy as an actor. Hate him with a ponytail.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he looks terrible with a ponytail.
And his plan is, because they never get to see each other, he just bought a bunch of tickets flying back and forth.
Yeah.
They could spend time together even if it was on the plane.
Yeah.
And
don't know if that's a great idea.
I don't know either. And I still like Colin a lot.
Yep.
What was his story in this episode? Oh, the some of the fight fans, because it's like Irish guys against an Irish Samoan. Man against Samoan.
This big Someone got sat in his seat and ripped his book in half.
Yeah, he goes like, that's my seat. He goes, that's my public radio bag, and that's my book right there. And I ripped the book in half. He's like, well, now you have a problem with me and the blah, blah, blah public library or something like that. And
so basically, Ronnie, like, he starts talking, and he's so obnoxiously British that they, like, get all up in his face like they're going to fight. And Ronnie's like, this is a great idea. If we get them to fight, we could kick them off legally.
Exactly. So he gets them to not fight.
Well, no, he gets them to fight, boyfriend.
No, initially he stops a fight, and then he tells Ronnie, hey, I stopped the fight. And she goes, well, how did it start? Did you annoy them?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, he's like, well, I was just telling them about blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that'd do it.
That would do it, yeah. So just do it again. So then he gets them to fight again, and then her new boyfriend or new love interest gets them to stop fighting. And she's like, why did you do that? The plan was to get them to fight so we could kick them off. And she's like, well, even if I knew that was the plan, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, that's a little psycho even for me.
Yeah. The other backstory is, I want to say Artemis.
Artem.
Artem is sitting next to a guy who bought his dummy, his...
very expensive ventriloquist dummy.
Ventriloquist dummy, puppet, whatever. Its own seat. And then the guy looks out the window the whole time and talks shit to Artem through the... through the ventriloquist dummy.
At one point, even like holding out a bottle of water and saying, hey, you want this? And then like
dumping it
very awkwardly and slowly, like the little mannequin's hand is like, and then finally dumps it out.
And Artem is just pissed.
Yeah.
And he's complaining to Ronnie, and then they come back to him. The guy's like talking. He's like, I don't know what he's talking about. It's a very expensive ventriloquist dummy. I don't want to put in the overhead bin for it to get damaged. I buy him his own ticket. We had multiple sellout shows in Vegas this week. I don't know what he's talking about. And then as soon as they leave, he's back to, hey, pal.
Yeah.
You know, and so after the fight plan gets broken up, she's like, well, how we can get people to fight to kick them off? And then Arno and the grabs the ventriloquist dummy to fight it, and then the guy jumps in and they roll around. And my favorite thing is at the beginning, he goes, there's nothing worse than there's nothing worse than sitting next to a Canadian who doesn't know to shut up.
Yes.
He goes, but now this is worse. So they get kicked off. That opens up three seats, and then Ronnie's boyfriend's like, I'm gonna get off.
Yeah.
And then they leave, and then finally they go to take off. The plane's empty because the fight got canceled.
Right.
And there's like five people on the plane, and the British guy goes over and says, I hate to be bothered, but you're sitting in my seat.
After all that.
Yeah.
He's as bad as Artem is.
Yeah. And then they see the flight later with Artem, and he sits down and he looks, and there's this big fat guy with a Canadian Maple Leaf flag on. He's like, hey, how's it going? And he just doesn't stop talking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's got the big wide eyes. He's like, oh, what's that all about, eh?
Oh, you don't talk a lot? That's okay. I can talk. I talk a lot for both of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ronnie.
It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. It's a good show.
Superstore.
Target.
Yeah. They talk about Target. Yeah.
And they visit Target and
yes.
Find out Cheyenne works at Target as well.
Part time.
Yep.
Yeah. Work at Cloud9 part time. Yep, I do.
Yep. It, basically, Jeff, when he quit his job, got a job immediately at Target.
No, that's the thing is he didn't. He lied.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
He lied about it because
so I was going to say he was there and he was wearing that. And then
they were giving him a going away party and how sad it was.
Yeah.
And on. And he felt like, all right, these people can't think I don't have a job.
Right.
So he lied about getting a job at Target. And then as soon as he did that, Glenn became all like, you know all Cloud9 secrets.
Right.
You can't be in here. And on and on and on. And
you're going to try to pooch our people.
Yeah.
I'll poach. Even though people kept pointing out to him that it's Pooch. He's like, he's trying to pooch our people. Well, we'll pooch his people.
And then who was it? The wheelchair guy. I think it was
Garrett.
Garrett. Garrett is asking for a raise from Glenn and lies saying that, you know, Jeff offered him $1 more an hour to go to Target. And so he calls Jeff to come in the store for a meeting. And then Jeff comes in. And of course, he's wearing a red shirt
at
Target. And
they kind of have it out with each other.
They have a big fight. They have a big fight.
Yeah.
And Jeff's just like, basically, like, you can't talk like this, basically.
Right.
So then he goes out and says, who wants to come with me to Target? And Sandra's like, oh, I'll go.
Yeah.
And she's the only one.
Her speech during the going away party, when she was like, for several weeks, I pretended that you were my boyfriend.
Oh, my God, that's right.
And I have all these intimate memories in my head right now of your body on top of mine on top of you. Like, she's just going to town on this, like, doesn't stop. And people are, like, really uncomfortable, but she just keeps going. It was awesome.
It was. But at the end, Jeff didn't get the job at Target.
Yeah.
He lied. And, of course, Sandra finds out, and she's wearing Target now.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, no, I got to talk to Glenn.
Yeah.
And then Glenn and Garrett go over to Target to try and recruit some of them to come work at Cloud9, and that's when they realize no one wants to come to Cloud9. Our place is a shithole compared to Target.
Yeah, Target's really good.
And run into Cheyenne. And so.
And then we had the B story, which is Jonah last week had told Kelly,
oh, God,
let's move in together. And it was kind of more just on an impulse.
Yeah.
So now she's trying to, like, help him pick out the way that they're going to decorate the place. And at first it's just like
he doesn't want any apartment because none of them are big enough or it doesn't sound big enough. So then they end up taping it out on the floor.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. First they're looking at blueprints and then she's like, well, let me give you it. And so they literally tape it out the size of it.
Yes.
And then they're like putting down, well, this is where the couch would be. And this is where I'm going to need to see it, you know, cause we live vertically as well.
Yeah.
So they had to bring over furniture.
So they bring over all the furniture, the couch, everything, and decorate the place like it's going to be the apartment. Finally, Kelly actually says to him, did you just say yes, you wanted to get a place because you felt awkward and that was the thing you needed to say? Yeah, it was.
And so then let's not do it.
And let's not do it. And then later on, they're crushing bread, which I've done that. That is very satisfying.
It really is, yes.
And he says, let's move in together.
Yeah.
And I mean it, so.
So they're moving forward with that.
And then another B story is Dina and her boyfriend going on a date, and has her boyfriend's friend, you know, she's trying to set someone up. And so at first, what's her face there? Ugly Betty.
Oh, Amy.
Amy doesn't want to go.
Right.
And then she sees a picture of him. And so she's in, but it's like an old picture.
Well, it's black and white. So yeah. She's like, oh, it must be one of those Instagram filters.
No, he's just an old man. And she sees a guy there making a delivery. And they do deliveries at Cloud Nine. So she goes over and they pretends to have a conversation with him about something just to get away from the table. And he's completely down for it. And they have a fake conversation for a while. And then at the end of the episode, he shows up for a delivery. And she's like, I thought you weren't delivering here today. I wasn't. So clearly he likes her.
Right. So,
yeah. Funny episode.
Yeah,
funny shoe. I watched SVU this week.
Yep.
And if you don't watch it, or you do and you haven't watched it, I'm going to spoil the crap out of it. All right, so here's the episode. There's these kids in town from Pennsylvania, and they're like this girl. She's like a piano prodigy, and like she's a big, big mucky muck. She's like 14 or 15 or whatever it is, and she's a master at the piano. She's 17, and she's a big master at the piano and everything like that. And she's in town with her school and her music teacher and other people like that for this thing. And she and her friend go out on their night, go on a nightclub. Maybe she's 16. I just saw she's 16 because it's her 16th birthday. And she goes out and everything. And then all intents and purposes, it looks like someone murdered her and hid the body somewhere. And so that's what they're doing. They're trying to find out where she is, where the body is, all that stuff. You know, the guy that she set up a guy to make it look like, but recording these videos and sending them to people and everything. She was basically faking her own death or disappearance.
Get out of the piano life?
Well, she's kind of faking her own disappearance. Her mom and dad is from Mad TV. What's his name? Will Sasso.
Okay.
And this is not a slap happy comic character for him. This is a loud, blue collar, hardworking man who does everything for his daughter and his family and everything, and he loves her, and very emotional and dramatic. So long and the short of it, the music teacher has been playing hide the banana with a 16-year-old girl, 15 at the time, now 16, okay?
Would it be more like the hide the conductor's rod?
Sure, whatever. They're having sex. And because they love each other.
The gong hammer.
Right. So they love each other and blah, blah, blah.
Of course, you know.
And so they find them in bed together at this place on Long Island because it's a friend of his who let him use this guy's spare house or whatever. You know, rich people are like extra houses apparently.
Right.
So the police find him in bed together and she's like, I love him though and he loves me and we're supposed to be together and we love each other. And then they get back to the headquarters and Will Sasso sees the guy and everyone assumes he's going to run over there and start beating the shit out of him. But it's not. Mom runs over and starts beating him up and everything and hitting him, and she's screaming at him and saying some of the lines that he used to romance the daughter. She starts yelling at him. Long and the short of it, that's his kid. Yeah. Apparently him and mom, 17 years ago,
played, he used those lines on her?
Played hide the piccolo, and she got pregnant, and then I don't know if she was married to Will Sasso at the time or not, that his character, but it doesn't matter. He didn't seem that angry. So it almost like it happened before they were together, but still, okay. You know, so it turns out that, you know, the pianist there, her music teacher was her dad, and they've been incesting each other. Yeah.
That's creepy.
High drama on SVU this week. Yeah. And they even made it even more creepy where the girl's like, oh, that makes perfect sense, because neither one of my parents have any artistic ability at all, and I'm, you know.
That was her takeaway?
That was her takeaway.
Not that her father had been diddling her?
Nope. And this is the weird thing. And then when Mariska Hargitay's character there, when she's talking about it with the
Olivia.
Lawyer, Olivia's talking about it with Peter Stone later. He's like, are you okay? She's like, Tim, like, are you okay? Because, I mean, this is the first weird case he's had to deal with. And he's like, yeah, I could imagine something like happening. And she goes, yeah, it's called. And she rattled off the name of it. And she goes, it's when, like, and this happens apparently between, like, parents and children who are, you know, they're obviously biologically related, but they've never met. And when they meet for some reason, they are drawn to each other almost sexually because they haven't had that whole, they're drawn to each other and they don't know why, but they didn't have that upbringing of knowing, you know, knowing, hey, this is my daughter. But
did it have Othello in the word?
No, it didn't, but okay. It was.
That seems
similar. I looked it up after and I'm like, holy shit, that's a real thing. So it was kind of interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. A big old incest case on SVU this week.
Okay. Well, that does sound very interesting.
It was. It was interesting. Legends?
Legends.
John Constantine's back.
Thank God.
Right? I will enjoy him a lot.
I do too. I
heard a rumor he might actually be on the show next year for the entire season.
They said that basically they haven't been renewed yet, but if they're renewed, he is going to be a series regular. And they kind of hinted at that in this episode when Sarah was like, we should just get you a bunk. And he's like, meh, wouldn't be the worst idea.
Decent episode.
Yeah.
Sarah decides to take the death totem for herself because she kind of calls to her.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when she does, she... Bollock immediately takes over her body.
Yep.
And, you know, she shuts down the ship and then causes a lot of hate and discontent with people and everybody. Beats them up and hurts them.
And because she has the death totem, she's... Now, this is where it's weird. Like, some of them, she's got dead people that she can take the form of. But then, like, Jesse's not dead.
No.
But she took Jesse's form to visit Wally. And...
Based on Wally's, based on Wally's insecurities or whatever it is, take the form of somebody to...
Which didn't really seem very death totem-y. Like, if you're taking on the form of somebody who's dead, sure, that's great. But and that was the first one right out of the gate. I'm like, Jesse ain't dead.
Well, my thought, my initial, I was like, did some we don't know something?
Right.
You know?
Are we going to get the next Flash episode and find out, oh, by the way, she's dead. Woo!
But no, yeah, you're right. But then she did take on, like, the dead people for others.
Right.
But it's also not just dead people. They're, like, people that it's their biggest insecurity about somebody, about something or whatever. And I thought it was a good episode.
Yep. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed a lot of it. I like Constantine as a character.
Yeah.
You know? Matt does a very good
Matt
job.
Matt Ryan, yeah.
He does a very good job in that role. I love Keanu Reeves, but now seeing Matt Ryan does a much better job.
I think so, yeah.
Than Keanu Reeves did.
I noticed one thing is he kept trying to smoke on the show, but every time they never actually showed him smoking, which doesn't surprise me.
One of my favorite lines was when they went to Constantine and he was trying to locate her, and they were like, "Oh, I thought you were like, you know, I thought you could do this kind of stuff." And he's like, "She's floating on a time ship somewhere in the universe." Okay, what do you say? My business card says "Master of the Dark Arts," not Dr. Willie. What's his face? And they go, "Who? Who? Exactly."
Yeah.
Oh, I love that part.
I liked how Gary goes, "He's a warlock," and Ava's like. Yeah, I know. He's like, you know, I'm a level 9 warlock. It's not Dungeons & Dragons, Gary.
And then by the end,
And
then Constantine's playing Dungeons & Dragons with him.
It's the last thing you see is Gary is Constantine playing Dungeons & Dragons with Gary and his...
I'm like, what a great game that would be, because he'd be like, oh, no, that's not how you do that. This is how you do that.
It was a great episode.
Rory did become the fire bearer.
Yes, he took on the fire totem because you need a totem to defeat a totem.
Yep.
And it just fit him.
It was interesting that, like, the totem bearers originally started off as all, like, the same bloodline, the Zambezi tribe, and now it's like, hey, go pick one up. Hey, you like fire? Go pick one up.
Yeah, but it didn't work for Nate.
No,
it totem didn't work for Nate.
But the death totem worked for Sarah. She's definitely not from Zambezi.
No, but the death totem was also powered by Moloch.
Mollus. Yep.
Anyways, powered by Mollus, and... Sarah had part of Mollus in her still.
Right.
So that was the excuse as to why I think that's why it worked for her.
Right.
What was it? They had said before Rory took the fire totem was like, you know, you like to pretend you're a bad guy, but clearly you're a good guy. And maybe that's why you've been here this whole time.
Right. You've stuck with the legends rather than going back to be a villain.
Right. You know, even after Cold left and everything.
He took quite a shine to it, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Well, he took big fire from his hands.
Exactly. Because his gun got smashed.
Yes. Of course they do the big play where he makes the fireball and she's like, Rory, are you still with me? And she's unsure. And then he throws it at her, but it's really Sarah behind her. So they do that whole thing. So we know he's a good guy.
Yeah. We also saw that the first victim of Sarah's wrath was Ray.
Yeah.
Who got the absolute bejesus beaten out of him.
Yeah.
You know, they're like listing off all the stuff that's wrong with him. He's got bruises all over his body and
broken
body parts. And
I almost said broken hymen.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
But once again, Ray's kind of relegated to the useless. Unless we need something shrunken. Yeah. You know, it's like Aquaman. He's almost like the Aquaman of the legends, you know? Yeah. It's like
he's constantly optimistic and happy about
things.
And then when Gary's talking about his plan or whatever from Dungeons and Dragons. He's naming off, and everyone that he, well, we have this, this, and this, it lines up with somebody that's on the ship. Right. And then when he gets to, like, race, he's like, and then we have this, like, kind of dwarf, but not really, like, really optimistic, happy guy all the time. Yeah. It was good.
I saw an article today, and I read through it, and it was pretty good. It was basically, it said that, oh, God, now I can't even think of her name. Spirit Totem.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to be able to help you with that one.
Anyway, it was saying Amaya.
Amaya.
It was saying that Amaya is the worst of the legends. And, you know, it started off by saying, you know, you remember season one, we had Hawk Girl and Hawk Man.
Yes.
And they had to go away. And immediately my first thing was, but she's a barista. And then I remembered why they were terrible characters, because she was constantly saying she was a barista. I'm just a barista. I don't know. I'm just a barista. And that's why they went away, because they were terrible characters. And they were making the argument that Amaya is the worst because everything that she does is focused on herself. You know, what's going to happen to my village? What's going to happen to my ancestors? Oh, my spirit totem. And she puts everybody else in harm's way for her own agenda.
Yep.
She doesn't look at the big picture. She doesn't look at the Mollus thing. She's like, this is all about me and my ancestors and my descendants and blah, 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 blah. So I agree. She's a pretty terrible character. Apparently, this next week's episode is going to involve the future Vixen, the one that we saw briefly last season on Arrow and Flash, I believe.
Yep.
Her descendant in the hospital because the timeline's now out of sync. Since she lost the spirit totem, she wasn't able to pass it on to her.
Ah.
So now she couldn't become Vixen, so she's in the hospital for some reason. Didn't she have something? Wasn't that part of it?
Maybe.
She had a disease.
Anyway. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else did you watch, sir? Didn't watch it.
Well, I think I caught up because you had seen two episodes, right?
I did watch two episodes.
So I watched the second episode.
Okay.
It was good. I like kind of like what you were saying. You know, basically, this was the episode where they were like, okay, well, how are we going to continue this? And it was them tricking the guy into giving up the – it was kind of a neat crime, the whole, you know, reality TV and shooting them with a poison and, you know, making –
it was called a force perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're trying to – they made him, like, drive down this road because they made him think it was a road when it wasn't.
Right. Yep. And he – the killer, as it were, was basically knocking off people by telling someone, hey, you're on TV and we'll give you, you know, you could win if you do what we tell you to. And he'd go around with a squirt gun and squirt these people and go, ha ha, got you, before they could get him.
Right. They made him think he was playing a game.
Yeah.
With water guns.
And there was actually a concentrated poison in there and killed these people.
Yeah.
Good episode. Good concept. I was trying to remember, okay, the weird woman that got his brother in the car accident that set him up and that has, like, the even bigger wall on her.
Yeah.
I was like, she looks so familiar. She was the wife of, what's his name, on Mr. Robot.
Oh, okay.
The one who had the baby.
Yes. The one who was shot in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So now she's free to do this.
Fair enough. Okay. That is, yeah, okay. Yeah, they didn't talk about her in the second episode so much.
You just saw her briefly at the very end.
It was just more about them establishing, him establishing his work with the FBI for cases other than magician-related cases.
Right, right.
So.
I watched a new show called Instinct. Did you watch this one?
I did not.
Okay. Alan Cumming plays a professor who teaches abnormal psychology.
Yeah.
He's written a book called Freaks, where he talks about how, you know, even abnormal brains can be even more abnormal, and he talks about psychopaths and stuff like that.
Yep.
And he's enlisted by this New York detective or wherever they are. And she wants him to help her solve this case because this person keeps killing people and then leaving a playing card. And apparently the playing card is telling who he's going to kill next. So, you know, like the Queen of Hearts was a heart surgeon woman, you know. They're all tied back to this one judge, it turns out. And basically these are people who all got off on very obscure technicalities that the legal team brought before the court, and the judge was like, well, I don't like it. I think they're guilty, but, you know, this is what the law says, so I have to let them go. So then this person is going out and stopping them, you know, because they should have been taken down. They should have gone to jail, et cetera. So he's killing them. And so she gets him involved because of his history with criminally insane behavior and stuff like that. Well, it turns out halfway through the show, we find out that, no, that's not it. Well, that is part of it, but unbeknownst to her, he was CIA. Oh. And, like, really high up in the CIA. And he has a friend that still works in, like, a Faraday cage with all the monitors and everything, and it's Saeed from Lost.
Oh, cool.
And the reason that he left the CIA was because he fell in love with the love of his life, and now that person is no longer in the picture for some reason. He is gay, by the way. So that guy is no longer with him. So he gave it all up for this, and we don't know if he's dead or not, but it's an interesting show. It's a fun one-hour mystery show, so I enjoyed it. I'd recommend checking it out. It's enjoyable. It's not like, oh my god, groundbreaking.
Right.
Alan Cumming, great guy.
I like him.
Yep.
Okay. That's cool. So yeah. I'll probably check it out.
Yeah. I think it's on CBS, yeah.
I watched I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Sure.
I watched a movie called The Rift, Dark Side of the Moon on Netflix.
Okay.
It's fucking garbage.
Does this have anything to do with Pink Floyd?
No.
Okay.
No, it's here's the synopsis. The film follows a sleeper CIA agent in Belgrade, not Maine, by the way.
London? Or England? Or
Who is one of many agents dispatched to secure the remains of a crash-landed satellite somewhere in eastern Serbia. When the team finally reaches the crash site, they discover the satellite has vanished and eventually find themselves battling evil forces to unlock the terrifying truth behind their ill-fated mission. Dun-dun-dun. Shitty acting. Shitty filmography. Shitty production. Shitty story. Shitty editing. Shitty soundtrack. Shitty, 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 shitty.
Shitty, shitty, bang, bang, shitty, shitty, bang, bang. Yeah.
Just plain shitty.
Nice.
So just delete it from your feed. Your queue. Don't watch it. Rotten Tomatoes apparently has given an audience score of 9%. Seems a little high to me.
Isn't that about what Batman vs. Superman got?
I think Batman vs. Superman was less than that. But anyways, yeah, like, it was...
That's like Pixels level.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad. How about that?
I consider myself warned.
Yeah, don't watch it. Anyways, going back to the actual movies.
Television?
Yeah, that's what I meant, getting away from movies. I didn't watch any other movies this week, so... I started watching one. I'm still watching it.
Okay. I only have two other shows that I
Me too. I got the X-Files and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. I do have S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, no. I don't think that I watched S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
Okay. I guess we won't talk about it. It's a very Fitz-heavy episode.
Yeah. I did not.
Okay. We won't talk about it then. It was a good episode. I watched it this morning.
Yeah. I heard that it was really good, and that's why it's shocking. Huh. I watched the first, 18 minutes of the first episode of the second season of Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to go into detail because it's not even a full episode. However, I will say I had forgotten how great this show is. The writing is spot on. The characters are great.
Nice.
I mean, just the humor is the kind that makes you really laugh. So
good.
I'm very much looking forward to digging back into this one. So X-Files is all I had left.
I watched the last two episodes of X-Files. Okay. Definitely didn't need to watch them in order.
Nope.
Episode 9 is called Nothing Lasts Forever. It was basically about
it was about 45 minutes too long.
I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay.
Basically, you had like a cult leader headed by this 1960s and 50s star who this doctor has essentially found a way to harvest people's organs and consume them to make themselves look younger and more beautiful. And there's this weird science where apparently you hook yourself together through an artery in the spine, and you sew yourself to another person, and like somehow you draw all their blood and shit through you. So it's very Frankensteinish, mad scientist type science to anti-aging. And it's all about enhancing your looks and anti-aging.
Yeah, and she's batshit crazy.
Oh, massively, and she is. The main story. You initially think it might be vampires.
Well, that's the thing is they really, even up until the end, they lead you to believe it because there's the kid
who keeps going around killing these members of the cult by stabbing them through the chest with a wooden stake.
No, it's a metal stake. It's a piece of a fence from the church.
Yeah.
And essentially, her sister's disappeared because she's joined this cult. Because her sister, if you saw a picture of her earlier, she was kind of hideously deformed in the face. And then when we see her, she looks beautiful, you know. And, yeah.
But, I mean, they live in an apartment where there are no curtains. Like, everything's blacked out, so they're in the dark all the time. The
sun's bad for your skin.
And she doesn't just, like, usually they puree up the stuff and she drinks it. But, you know, sometimes she'll just grab an organ and start biting into it.
Yeah, it's a little screwed up.
Yeah, it's really screwed up. And so they constantly give you the impression that, oh, it might be vampires.
Yeah. But
heavy religious connotations, too.
Yes. Well, you know, Scully's always been a religious person through the series, so. But anyway, so you don't have to watch both of them together.
No.
Which I kind of assumed it would be that way. I didn't even look into it. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
The final episode is My Struggle 4, and it's the...
I struggled.
Mulder and Scully continue to search for their long-lost son, William, while Cigarette-Smoking Man pushes to find the secret of the boy and his powers.
Yeah, they continue to look for the sun because, you know, they took the past couple episodes off from that.
Yes.
So they could do other stuff like vampire hunting.
Yeah, basically William is 17. He's still immature. He's hiding from the government because they know he's chasing him. He knows from his ESPN skills, skills that the Cigarette-Smoking Man is actually his father. Both William and Scully have seen flashes of Mulder's death being killed by, Cigarette-Smoking Man. His name is C.G. Spender, but I'm just going to go with Cigarette-Smoking Man.
Right.
C.G.B. Spender. Anyways, so Mulder's chasing down William through the whole thing and trying to get him to trust him.
And by chasing down, you mean going to this location, yeah, tracking him down.
Trying to find him.
And we get William doing a little monologue at one point.
Yes.
A little voiceover work, talking about his history. He remembers, you know, never knew this woman, but would have liked to have known her. She seems like a nice woman, but you know.
But these they're connected, they're connected telepathically or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Mulder finds William at a hotel and goes in and talks to him, and William's not really believing him, but at the same time, William's just trying to say, like, you'll all be better off without me and without me around.
The kid's also an asshole. Yeah, like, he even admits at one point, he's like, so I became a criminal
because
he has powers, and he's like, I'm going to use them for bad.
Right. And, like, he had to change schools a lot as a kid because he'd use his mental powers to, like, I don't know, make kids' ears bleed or mean to him.
Yeah.
Caused multiple car pileups in an intersection so he can ride his bike through safely or whatever.
Yeah. Or get those two girls to kill each other on a joke.
Yes, on a joke. And that's when he got in trouble. And then the government came and killed his adoptive parents.
Life's rough.
It is. So they're tracking Mulder, unbeknownst to him, and they military, like, you know, a Humvee shows up and force three soldiers and the bad woman get out or whatever. And they come in the place and Mulder's down on the ground and Liam explodes them all.
Yeah. Rather violently.
Oh, yeah. Wicked violently.
No.
And just literally explodes them with his mind.
Yeah.
He's not really safe.
Person.
Nope. Then, of course, he takes off running and now Cigarette-Smoking Man has told Skinner, hey, I'm Liam's father. He's an experiment, and either you bring him to me, or I'm going to unleash this plague, this virus that we saw at the end of the third episode. That was just a dream, apparently. So they all end up chasing him down to the docks, to the waterfront, to this abandoned warehouse. Well,
don't forget that in the meantime, Skinner also goes right to Scully and goes, guess what I know?
Well, not really.
He does.
They're in the car, and he's like, look, I hate to tell you this, but...
Yeah.
But I think that helps her. Because by knowing that, she knows that William wasn't a product of love between her and Mulder like they always thought.
Well, and technically he wasn't a product of her. I mean, she carried him.
Well, but her and Mulder always held on to the fact that they were his parents.
Right, right.
And that they loved him and that was their child and they were doing this to protect him and on and on and on.
Right.
But then by her knowing that Cigarette-Smoking Man was actually the father, he was a test tube baby experiment, she just was a womb and everything, that helps her detach.
Pretty damn quickly, too.
Well, no, but, like, it helps her detach, and she tells us all the Mulder, she's just like, he wasn't our son.
Yeah.
you know, but you, and Mulder's like, but you were his mother. And she's like, no, I wasn't. He was an experiment, a horrible experiment. I carried him. I bore him, but I was no mother to him.
But, you know, he's a real asshole, so let's just wash our hands of this.
But this is, of course, after the fact that we get down into this warehouse. They're chasing him through the warehouse. The sugar warehouse. William has disguised himself as Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we don't know that.
Talk to Scully. Oh, yeah, we do.
Well, we do when Mulder shows up on screen.
Yes, and Scully's like, oh, that was William. Because he's like, basically, as William as Mulder is saying, forget about him.
Let him go.
Forget about me. He knows you love him. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He's like, how would he know that? How could he possibly know that? And then that's when Mulder shows up, and he takes off running. And then we see Mulder, who's William.
That was air quotes.
We all know it's William. Out on the dock with a cigarette smoking man. Smoking man doesn't know that it's William. He thinks it's Mulder. And they have a verbal.
And he's basically like, you know, you leave this kid alone or I'll kill you. Yeah. I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Basically, yeah. And then he says, well, you won't shoot me. I don't think you have it in you. And he's like, I shot my second born.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Boom.
So cigarette smoking man shoots Mulder.
Right in the head.
Right in the head, and he falls in the water.
Yeah, none of this like, oh, I'm going to shoot you in the chest, and maybe you'll bleed out. No, it's right in the temple.
Right in the head, and he falls in the water. And then he's standing there, and he turns around, and then you hear Mulder yell, hey! Cancer Man turns around, and Mulder just unloads his clip into his chest and stomach, of course. Not in the head, chest and stomach.
Yeah.
And you can see the surprise on his face when he sees Mulder, and then he pushes him in the water, and Cancer Man floats off. So again, he may be dead. He might not be dead.
Saltwater preserving wounds.
He's pretty unkillable, mm-hmm. You know?
Well, don't forget also that when they got to the warehouse and everyone ran inside, first the smoking man got there because Annabeth Gish drove him there.
Agent Reyes.
Yes.
Yes, who was one of the agents that worked in with Scully and everybody near the end of the run.
So Skinner is like, nope, you go. I'll hold him off. And he plugs her right in the head.
Yeah, he starts shooting at the SUV. Well, she tries to back away at first.
Right.
He just points the gun.
Yeah.
And then she tries to back away.
The smoking man's like,
smoking man throws it in drive and makes her drive forward. And that's when he starts unloading and she's dead.
Yep.
She gets killed. Skinner runs away. And ends
up towards the other car. Instead of like going out around, runs towards the other car and dies.
They were in a narrow alley, so he couldn't have gone left or right to be avoided by the SUV. Which
sure could have.
Okay, well,
because I mean, you open the doors on the side of the car.
In his mind, he didn't think he had room. Or if he tried to go left or right, they would just veer it left or right, maybe hit him still. So he ends up diving on the ground, and the SUV goes over him and crashes into the car.
So we don't know if he's dead or not.
We saw feet, but we don't know if he's dead or
right. And they lingered on the feet for quite a while. I kept half expecting
them to move or something.
No, I kept expecting the shoes to disappear and the feet to curl up under.
Then we're left.
That's how the new FBI director is selected.
Yeah, and then then we're left with Scully and Mulder on the docks. And like I said, she's telling him, like, you know, we weren't his parents. You know, I wasn't his mother. Blah blah blah. Like I spoke about earlier. And then Mulder goes, well, then who I am? Who am I then? Because the only thing that's kept me going these last 17 years is the fact I was a father.
Yep.
And Scully says, "You are," and puts his hand on her stomach, implying that she's been impregnated by Mr. Fox Mulder.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, but that's impossible. She goes, I know it is, but it's true.
She's like, it's completely impossible, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in the timeline of this, they're going to be in their 50s.
Yeah.
There is like a 99% chance that this baby is going to be stillborn or have some horrific problems.
She's not supposed to be pregnant to begin with, so it'll be fine. And
which, by the way, I also hate that. I hate that writing tool, you know, where they're like, I'm a father, you're, oh my God. No, stupid.
The last scene we see is William rising up out of the water, and he's got, like, the bullet wound on his head, but it's healing up.
Yeah. And he kind of, like, darts his eyes and then
cracks. Yeah. The only other thing that happened in this episode, and I can't think of the name of the person that this happens. Let's see here. There is another agent, if you will. I think they call him Mr. Y.
As in mystery.
Oh, there you go. Sure. But anyways, his name is Mr. Y on the show, and he was a person we met earlier on, him and his assistant. She's blown up. by William in the hotel room. Exploded.
Yep.
But anyways, he is this person who's trying to get Mulder on his side. And again, he's portrayed as being like a cigarette-smoking man type villain.
Yep.
You know, with people working for him. And he's working on a secret space program and using technology from alien ships and this and that. And they think, and Monica Rye is actually calls Scully and tells him, William's on this plane. Here's the plane tail number, blah, blah, blah. And Mulder wants to go see and make sure and find out. Maybe they did catch him.
Right.
And Scully's like, nah, he's not there because of a psychic vision she had. Anyways, but he goes anyhow and checks it out, and he's not there. But then he sees Mr. Y get off the plane and his men, and then, you know, ends up going into the hangar, and he kills, like, six people.
Yes, yeah, that was, like, my first note. I'm like, Mulder just straight up murdered these people no reason.
Yeah, he just killed like six people and Mr. Y. So I'm like, well,
he's
not going to be a villain later on. So basically with this season, they closed the doors on any new villains they created, and they make
and us half think, the existing cast.
And they make us think Cancer Man's dead and Monica Reyes is dead and
Skinner's dead.
We don't know. Maybe not.
Right.
But so I don't know. There's, you know, Gillian Anderson said that she's not going to do another season.
And then I may be right up there with her.
And then they said, well, without Dana Scully, with no Dana Scully, we can't do the X-Files.
Right.
It can't happen.
I mean, I still have the Lost Art of Foreheads Sweat on my DVR because that was a great episode.
Oh, for this season?
Yes.
Yes, that was a great episode.
And I wish I still had the the Were Human.
Were Human. Were Man.
I had a different DVR back then. So
I still have that one.
But, honestly, I think I'm done with it. Like, if they came back for another season, I don't know that I'd watch it. I'd probably just listen, you know, let you tell me which ones were good.
Yeah.
And
watch those.
Maybe check them out. But they'd have to be good, like The Were Human or The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat.
Lost Art of Forehead Sweat was pretty awesome.
It was pretty great.
The Were Human, like
Reggie something.
Yeah, like, hey, where are they going with Reggie?
Right.
Yeah.
Just a brilliant episode.
It really was. And it's like, all right, well, you know, we got 16 episodes on these two bonus seasons, if you will. And I'm glad we got them.
Yeah.
Absolutely glad that we got them. But, yeah, kind of, I don't know. So there is Tark. good English, Mike. There is talk of now, initially they said, oh, no Dana Scully, no X-Files.
Right.
But now Chris Carter's like, well, maybe we'll do the X-Files without Dana Scully. So there is the possibility of another season coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just be apparently David Duchovny, which honestly, as long as he's on the show, like, I love Gillian Anderson. I had a massive crush on her when the show was on when I was a teenager. She did that FHM magazine pictorial. She wasn't nude. She was just wearing a purple cat suit. Got me. Anyways, let's just say I was a huge fan of Gillian Anderson when I was a teenager. Like,
whatever. As was Kleenex from the sound of it. They probably sold a lot of them.
But really, without Fox Mulder is the star of the show. Without him, there is no series, in my opinion.
As we saw
with that half of season 8 and then most of season 9. You know, like he's the driving force. You know, he's the government conspiracy guy. Dana Scully was always there to debunk his beliefs.
But
and then later on, when he wasn't there and she was the believer, it just wasn't as good.
Right. And I'm agreeing with you. However,
yeah,
I think it's safe to say that especially this season and some of last season, we didn't get that from him. Like, we didn't have the same believer. Like, there were a couple of times, like, with the witchcraft episode where he was like, oh, maybe it was witchcraft, you know? But we didn't have that same Fox Mulder who, like, believed everything but always find the alternate way to look at things.
Right.
You know, it just wasn't the same. He's not the same as he used to be.
Right. But and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that you look at the time. Okay, when the show came out in 1993, we didn't have the technology then that we have now.
I mean, right.
Yes, it was 25 years ago. But I don't know. I feel like the technology boost from 1993 to 2018 was probably, to us, viewed just as big as it did from 1893 to 1925.
Fair enough.
However, from, let's just say, 1950 to 1993, you didn't have this big of an expansion like you did.
Oh, yeah. It's exponential. Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, since computers especially came out. So, like, nowadays, him and his government conspiracy stuff, yeah, you can still do government conspiracy stuff, but not as well, probably. You can still do government cover-ups. However, it's hard to do aliens, UFOs, creatures, you know, cryptozoological things, because you don't have a blurry picture anymore, because everyone has camera phones and smartphones. Yeah. And like my smartphone has a 12 megapixel camera on it, or 16 megapixel camera on it, you know. And whereas back then your film camera wasn't as good and didn't zoom as well. And, you know, like, so it's a lot.
I'm going to add another layer on that too.
Different. Go ahead.
Because I do agree with you in a lot of that stuff. However, if we look at David Duchovny as the actor, as the man,
sure,
he really came to light in the X-Files.
Yes.
Like, this was the defining role for him. He was Fox Mulder.
Absolutely.
Then when he stepped away, what did we get? We got David Duchovny, the sex fiend.
Yeah.
The sex addict.
Yeah.
And we got David Duchovny in several seasons of Californication, where you got to play a sex addict, having sex with lots of women.
Yeah.
And so now we have an actor who's like, I don't need X-Files money anymore. You know? So I feel like for him, coming back and doing these is like showing up. It's like John Wesley Shipp showing up at Rhode Island Comic Con. You know, he's like, I'm just doing this for the fans. I'm not the Flash anymore. I don't do the Flash anymore. You know, I'm just going to make a few bucks here and there by signing autographs, and that's about it. I would almost bet that part of David Duchovny is that. And because he's an EP and because he had so much of a stake in the show, that translates to it. You know, he's older now. He's had all these experiences, and he's like, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I'm not a nerd anymore.
Yeah.
That it could just be me. Maybe he's like, no, dude, you're misreading this. But that was the impression that I got, you know?
That's a fair
thought process.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word I wanted to use.
Could have said assessment.
That was what I wanted to say. That's a fair assessment. I can understand that. You know, I mean, I did watch something else. I was going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
I watched it tonight, and I watched The Return of Roseanne.
Oh, that's right. That was on tonight.
Yeah.
I set that to record.
There was two episodes on, and I watched them both.
Okay.
And it really was like putting on an old pair of pants, fit again, or riding a bike, or whatever. Like, it was...
As in you fell back into it, or, oh my God, I really miss this. I really enjoy this.
Like, you fell right back into it.
Okay.
You know, you really legitimately just fell right back into it. The characters, the storylines, just everything. It was just like very familiar and just really cool. Yeah. Like the dichotomy of the characters, just everything. Of course, they had a couple little in jokes about Dan's actually alive. And
I saw one commercial where he woke up and she's like, I thought you were dead. And he's like, why does everyone keep thinking I'm dead?
Yeah. So, I mean, they addressed that sort of, but I mean, it's just, it's Roseanne still, just now. Okay. Somehow they've managed to do that, like, successfully. You'll see when you check it out. I really was a big fan of the original run of the series.
See, I wasn't, like, a fan, but I wasn't a hater.
Yeah.
It was one of those things like, oh, it's on. I could watch this, or I don't have to. You know, I didn't get into it either way.
No, I was a big fan of the original run. It made me funny, and I could relate to certain things about it sometimes. I think that helps. When you can relate to it, it helps a lot. So when I was watching it tonight, it literally was just like you're seeing all these same characters just like 21 years later. You know? Laurie Metcalf now, like as Jackie, like I'm so used to seeing her on like How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like...
You want her to have a Southern accent?
And instead, she's right back to being, you know, Jackie, who has no direction in her life and constantly trying new things and can't figure herself out, and you know what I mean, and you know, Roseanne being the sassy person she is. Like, there's a scene where I'm not giving really anything away, it's a half hour sitcom for crying out loud, but there's a scene where, like, you know, Becky's daughter, not Becky, Darlene's daughter, screams at her mother. But it's something because, like, she's like, you need to babysit. You need to stay home and watch your brother. So I'll be back for dinner. It's like, no, you need to stay home and watch your brother. I have a job interview today. And she's like, well, no, I can't. I can't do that. She's like, well, I'm going to need you to. And Roseanne just goes, no, it's done this way. Plans have changed. You're staying home. And she's, I hate you. You ruined my life. And she ran off, and Dan goes, I haven't heard that movie in 20 years. Ah, the classics. And he goes back to reading the paper, you know. Like, just little things like that, you know. But it was, I don't know, I liked it a lot.
Nice.
And the episodes went by super fast because they're like, you know, 22 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think they're only doing 10 or something like that. It's a short season, but I honestly, the comedy of the show works today as it worked back then, and you just relate it to today's times, and you could do a whole season run of that show if they wanted to.
So. Blue collar.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what they still are. You know, now they're just older and on medication, and they can't afford their pills because their health insurance is shitty.
Right.
So they can't afford to get, you know, their prescriptions, and, you know, they're still dealing with all that stuff and work and on and on and on. So
nice.
Yeah, looked good. It was good. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on it.
Cool.
I guess that's it for me.
Yeah, that's all I got.
I don't have any trailers to talk about.
No.
You didn't watch any movies?
No.
No. I had a big wrestling weekend again, so it's a couple of long shows there, a couple of 4-hour.
I had a bunch of games released, so.
Yeah, see? That's what happens. Life.
Yep.
Life gets in the way.
It does. Life. Not finds even. A way.
I mean, I could talk about all the episodes of Rusty, of Thomas the Train, but...
So, we'll talk to you next week.
Exactly. On the Twitter machine bot, I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Show is at What Did You Watch? Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Maybe. Perhaps.
And so, of course, I have Wednesday paper.
Just now, you know, so we'll move it.